said you needed to adjust your mic.
Okay. A little awkward here for just a minute, so just hang with me, okay? The memo I just received was that I need to adjust my microphone, and I don't know where that adjustment needs to take place. So, Jimmy, if you can just tell me what I need to do, bud. What do I need to do with the microphone? Are we okay at this point?
Speak.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. Thank you for praying with us this morning. Isn't it good? Isn't it good to pray? Isn't it good to pray together? Isn't it good to rejoice together? What a privilege it is. Thank you for being in church today. I'm really, really glad that each and every one of you are here. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, I hope to have that opportunity. If you're new, odds are my mom has already met you and loved on you, and I'm so grateful for that. But again, thank you for joining us in church this weekend. I just want to give a couple reminders in terms of announcements today. We do have the upcoming events flyer out on the information table that tells you everything we're doing in November and December. The rest of what we have in November. I do just want to plug real quick the ladies' Bible study that's going on. I listened in a little bit last week, and it's really, really good. We're hearing good things about it. If perhaps you would like more information about that, talk to Stacy in the foyer. She can let you know everything about that. and then also, if you do have an offering this morning that you'd like to place somewhere, we have an offering box here and then one also in the foyer at the information desk. Thank you for your giving and your contributions, those of you who give that way. Thank you also for those of you who give online and support the work here at Landmark. It's a privilege to do that with you, and we're so very, very thankful. And then, of course, this Thursday is pre-Christmas. This Thursday is pre-Christmas. We call it Thanksgiving, but it's really pre-Christmas is what it is. And so we hope that you have a great, We hope you have a great Thanksgiving on Thursday, that you are able to join family and friends and to be thankful for all the things that we have. If perhaps you are not with your family and you choose to be alone or you are alone, we want you to know that God is present in that moment, and we have so much to be grateful for, so much to be thankful for. We also recognize that these seasons are hard for some people, and we want you to know that this is a good opportunity to pray for those who are struggling through this season. So let's not forget that as well. So happy Thanksgiving to you all in advance.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Robert. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, this morning to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to attempt to address a fairly difficult topic this morning, and I didn't necessarily want to do that. I wanted to talk about gratitude and thanksgiving like Sharina did a couple of weeks ago. That's a fun one to talk about. Sharina did a great job. Pastor's message last week was outstanding. And I want to talk about something a little bit more difficult today. Speaking of Pastor, he's at Grace Family this morning, and he's actually on his way back. He'll be with us probably in the service, but it's my privilege to preach today. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Could I invite you to stand one more time this morning as we read the Word of God together? Words will be on the screen. However you engage with the Word of God today, whether it's on your device or a leather or a hardback Bible in paper, whatever you need to do, I want you to engage with the Word today. Joshua 1:9 says this. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Pray with me one more time. Jesus, thank you for your word, because it is powerful, it's effective. It works in our life, and we believe that it is true. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak to us this morning in a way that we could understand. Give us ears to hear what you're saying. As we hear that word, would you help our minds to comprehend it? As our mind comprehends, I pray that that word would seep down to the deepest parts of our soul. And as it does so, I pray that it would find good soil so that that word could be planted and grow. As it grows, I pray that word would give life to us and life to those around us. And finally, this morning, as the text said, I pray that you would make us courageous people, that you would allow us to do the things that you've asked us to do, and that you give us the courage to be the people you've asked us to be. Thank you again for your power of your word, we pray, and we accept its power into our life this morning in Jesus' name. Can you agree with that today? If so, say amen. 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 Thank you. You may be seated this morning. I want to share a message with you entitled Strong and Courageous. Strong and Courageous. Again, this text is in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. To give us a little bit of context, we're going to read verses 1 through 9 here in just a moment. But in terms of context, we're at a spot where Joshua is getting ready to lead the Israelites into the promised land. The backstory to that is that many of you will recognize the story of Moses in slavery in Egypt. As Moses and the plagues and Pharaoh and the Red Sea and some of those children's stories that many of us are familiar with. Moses would lead the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. And after those 40 years, they would come to the gates of the promised land, needing first to cross the Jordan River, next needing to defeat the city of Jericho. And so that is where we find Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1-9. Moses, we'll read in just a moment, Moses has died, and Joshua will be his successor. Let's get some scriptural context to the verse, and then I have a few thoughts to share on it this morning. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Follow in your Bibles if you would. Words will be on the screen. It says this, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" Verse 6, "Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their fathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Transitions are unpredictable. Anybody want to agree with that today? You don't have to. But if you've ever gone through a transition, you know that transitions, no matter what or how or when, are unpredictable. Even the most thought out, planned, and strategically implemented transition plans have a level of uncertainty to them, were all the pieces of the transition considered adequately? Were the perceived challenges addressed? Will the transition be brief or will it take some time? How will the transition be accepted? Will the company shift with the transition? Will the staff be patient and gracious? Will the previous CEO, owner, or leader respond well? How will the new leader, the new manager, maybe even the new pastor respond? Will promises made be promises kept? You can never answer all the questions, but for sure, we give it a shot. We try, because we know that transitions are unpredictable, but transitions are necessary. Transitions are important. And these, the ones I'm talking about now, these are just the transitions that we can plan for. What about the transitions that you don't see coming? What about the transitions that you can't plan for? What about the transitions that come out of nowhere? If we're honest, most of us wouldn't label those transitions. We would label them inconveniences. We would give them a myriad of other names, but transition probably wouldn't be one of them. Perhaps might be more negative, or we'll just camp on the word this morning, inconvenient. What about those transitions? Those badly timed, terrible moments that we didn't plan, we didn't want, they showed up, they inconvenienced us and smacked us in the face, and we find ourselves in the middle of transition. What about those times? What do we do with that? What do we do with these? What do we do with the job we didn't plan on losing? What do we do with the business that we didn't plan on closing? What do we do with the baby we didn't plan on having just quite yet? What do we do with the loss that we didn't plan on experiencing? What do we do with the cancer? What do we do with the dementia? What do we do with the stroke? What do we do with the role of a spouse and the role of a caregiver? What do we do with that? What do we do with forced retirement? What do we do with a pandemic? What do we do with lockdowns? What do we do with mask mandates? What do we do with vaccine mandates? What do we do with go to work, don't go to work? What do we do with in-person school, remote school? What are we doing with homeschool or no school? What do we do with all of those transitions? What do we do with those inconveniences? What do we do with the marriage that is failing or has failed? What do we do with the kids who are trying to cope and figure all of this out too? What do we do about the depression that raises its ugly head? What do we do about the depression that visits us again that we thought we beat years ago? What do we do with the depression and anxiety that shows up at our doorstep now, having never experienced it before? What do we do with that? What do we do with that transition? What do we do with that inconvenience? What do we do about the addiction that just won't go away? What do we do about the addiction that won't leave us alone? What do we do? What do we do with that stuff? What do we do with the hard transitions? What do we do with the awful inconveniences that life seems to throw at us so hard, with such velocity? What do we do when we have a hard time hitting the fastball, let alone trying to hit the curveball or the off-speed pitch? What do we do with that? What do you do with all this stuff? Aren't you really glad you came to church today? Aren't you? Transitions are unpredictable. At best, unpredictable. And that's exactly where we find Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1. Smack dab in the middle of unpredictable transition with very unpredictable people. If I've learned anything over the last 2 years, I've learned that I can be very unpredictable. I can be happy 1 minute and praising Jesus for all the stuff and all the things, and then I hear something on the news, and I can be grumpy and angry and short and callous and unpredictable, if I could just put it that way. How many people want to admit that they're in that boat paddling with me? This section over here. All right. Looks like we're going to have a civil war right here. That's how it's going to happen. No. We know what it's like. We've all lived through the last 24 months. We've all seen the stuff, heard the things, lived the things, been there, done that. Don't want the t-shirt because we don't want to remember any of it. We've been there. I've learned some things about human nature. I've learned some things about pastoring. I've learned some things about leading. I've learned some things about being a father and being a husband and being a friend. I've learned that I'm unpredictable. That's where Joshua found himself. Let's break down this section of verses real quick. I'm going to get to a spot today where I'm going to leave you a few things, how I believe that we can handle unpredictable transitions. I want to break it down this way, though. I love how God addresses Joshua. Look at how he does it. God says to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Isn't that what a great way to start the conversation? Joshua, you are in the midst of a messy transition with unpredictable people, with the whole future of the Israelite nation hinging on your ability to lead socially, militarily, on every level. Your ability to lead will impact the success or failure of this campaign. And so let's start the conversation. Moses, or Joshua, God says to him, "In case you didn't know, my servant Moses is dead," which Joshua knew very, very well. He was Moses' right-hand guy. He knew very well that Moses was dead. I have an opinion on this. God starts with the reality of the matter. He says, "Joshua, this is the reality. Moses is dead. You are not. Moses was the leader. Now you're the leader. What are we going to do with that?" God states the reality. And then God, he just moves so quick. This is the reality. "Moses, my servant, is dead." And then he tells Joshua the plan. In Joshua 1 verse 2, the first part of it, it says, "You and all these people, in the uncertainty of the moment, in the transition, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them." I can see Joshua kind of doing this reaction to God. "Okay, good job. That sounds like a great plan. How are we going to do this whole thing?" But God doesn't get there yet. The reality is Moses is dead. You're the leader. This is the plan. This is the big view. You and all these people are going to live there. And you're going to get them across the Jordan River, which the Bible will tell us later, is at flood stage. You're going to cross this river, and you're going to possess the land that I promised to your forefathers hundreds of years before you were even born. That's the plan. And then God gives him the outcome. God said, "This is the reality. Joshua, this is the plan. And Joshua, this is the outcome." The outcome is seen in Joshua chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. In short, God says, "I will give you every place that you set your foot as I promised Moses." That will be the outcome. He doesn't tell them how. He doesn't give them a 10-step plan to success. He doesn't give them a map with all the military coordinates, the high points, the advantage, the ambushes. He just says, "The reality is Moses is dead. The plan is that you and all these people are going to cross the river. And the outcome is that I'm going to give you what I promised to Moses." And then he gives Joshua a promise in Joshua chapter 1 verse 5. Listen to this. He says, God says to Joshua, "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you." This is powerfully significant. We don't have the time. I haven't built the time into this message to explain all of why this is significant. But when God said, "I will be with you just as I was with Moses," I will say this, that God talked to Moses face to face, as man to man, the Bible says. Moses never saw his face, but Moses saw the backside, the back parts of Jesus. And it changed his literal countenance, and he had to wear a veil because his face shined so brightly having had that encounter with God. God would descend in the cloud on the tabernacle of meeting, and Moses would go into the holiest of holy places and have conversations with the living God. Joshua saw Moses do this. Joshua heard Moses do this. And so in the midst of that transition, in the midst of all the uncertainty, God gives a promise and says, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you." Can you imagine what that would have done in Joshua's heart? Can you imagine what those words would have meant to Joshua's mind? Can you imagine how steeled his countenance would have been to hear that the God that was with Moses is the God that's going to be with me? And I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you, God would say. And then I love how God in his compassion and his mercy says all of those things in very big detail. In very big picture view, God lays it all out. And then he slows things down and he speaks to the man. What did he speak to the man? In the transition, in the uncertainty, in the turmoil, in the chaos. In those moments where Joshua was feeling like he was less than he needed to be, or would he be what he needed to be? In the midst of all that, God stoops down and he talks to the man. And what does he tell to the man? What does he say to the man, Joshua? Be strong and courageous. And he says it to him three times. That's also significant. Three times. Be strong and courageous. I have put the mantle of leadership on you, Joshua, and I never would have done that if I didn't know you were the man to lead. Be strong and courageous. Maybe you need to think about that today. Maybe you need to hear God say to the man and to the woman, be strong and courageous. I haven't asked you to lead in this hour because I'm wondering if you can do it. I've asked you to lead in this hour because I know you can do it. Be strong. Be courageous. Lead. Lead your homes. Husbands, wives, lead your homes together in the ways of God. Lead your co-workers. Lead your employees. Lead your friend groups. That's one of the things that all of us have in common. What is the will of God for my life? That's the huge question, right? What am I supposed to do with my life? Let's start here. Lead. Lead. Lead someone somewhere, because you're always leading someone somewhere. Let's make it intentional. Let's lead people to Jesus. Let's lead people to grace. Let's lead people to compassion. Let's lead our friend groups to a place that we have gone to experience the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the new life in Jesus. Lead them somewhere. The best place you could lead is to lead someone to Jesus. Be strong and courageous. The mantle of leadership that I placed on you is not an accident. It is an appointment. And I believe in you, God says. Lead. It doesn't matter how few you lead or how many you lead. What matters is that you lead and that we lead people to Jesus. God continues and says, be strong and courageous. And in this one, be careful. Be careful to obey. How do we lead? How do we lead people to Jesus? Well, God said to Joshua in Joshua 1, you need to obey all of the commands that I've written in the book of the law that Moses wrote down. We might know them as the Ten Commandments. We might know them as the Mosaic Law. It was the law God established to lead the Israelites through the wilderness into the promised land and beyond until, fast forward, New Covenant, Jesus is the new written code, and that's the one that we embrace. Somebody say amen. We're just going to agree on that and move back to Joshua, okay? We have the written law. And God said, you need to obey my word in the written law. Meditate on it day and night. Think about this. Joshua was getting ready to enter a military campaign where he was going to have to make significant military decisions that would cost or save the lives of thousands and thousands of people. He would conquer city upon city upon city upon city, taking the land of Canaan. And God said, in the midst of all that, I want you to be in this every day. Now, this is a Bible, and he had the written law, which was much more cumbersome. But God said, in the midst of all of that, amidst all the decisions that you're making, This of all the strategic decisions that you're making, the best strategic decision you could ever make was to be in my law, to meditate on it day and night. Do not let a day escape you where you have not engaged with the word of God. That's my words to what God was saying to Joshua. I think that is so powerful for us to latch on to today. What's the easiest thing for me to ignore? I'm going to tell you right now. It's this, my Bible. One of the easiest things for me to ignore is my Bible. I have zero excuse not to engage with the Word of God every day. God has called me to lead just like He has called you to lead. He has called me to obey the principles of His Word just like He's called you to obey the principles of His Word. I cannot obey what I do not know. And sometimes God has just had to give me that gentle little heavenly spanking on the hind end that says, Eddie, you got to get that little thing in gear. You need to get your nose back into the precepts and the principles and the promises of the Word of God. You will not lead well unless you lead out of the Word of God. Do not forsake the Word of God. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey. Be strong and courageous, he says one more time. God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous because the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. There's a few promises in the Word of God that I do my best to cling to every single day. Here's a couple of them. Lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. There's another promise that says, I will never leave you or forsake you. We find it in Deuteronomy, we find it here, we find it in the New Testament in multiple places. I will never leave you or forsake you. There's a promise in Scripture that says that God is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen. He tells us in the Psalms that He will not abandon us over and over and over again. Be strong and courageous. Why? Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. No matter if it's this pandemic or the next pandemic, God is with you wherever you go. God is with you through the hurt and the pain of a medical diagnosis. God is with you in the victory and the challenge of a great and miraculous healing. God is with you through the moments of transition and uncertainty. God will never leave you or forsake you. It is against His character. He will not lie. God is not a God that will lie, the Word of God says. If He says, I will never leave you or forsake you, it is true that He will never leave you or forsake you. So what do we do with all of this stuff? What do we do with all of this? I want to leave you with three things. Well, maybe three more things. I don't know. My notes on this one were terribly written. I'm just going to be really honest. I want to leave you with three things. I don't know if this is the most important one or not, but I want to leave you with this. To illustrate it, I'm going to grab this ladder. Jimmy, I'm not sure if you can hear me, but we might need to make some adjustments to the camera. Never mind, Jimmy. Nate's going to hop up there. Now, I'm going to do my best not to be a liability or an insurance claim. But I also need a willing volunteer to illustrate this, and I didn't ask anybody beforehand, so I'm just going to take a shot in the dark here that the person I choose won't leave the church. So I think I'm going to ask AJ because I know his dad, and his dad will kill him if he leaves the church. So AJ, I need you to come and right up here in the front and really awkwardly lay down right next to the ladder. Yep, you can put your feet right there. Yep, just get as comfortable as you can in an uncomfortable situation. Lay down. Stare at the ceiling. Perfect. What do I think we need to take away from this? I think one of the major themes we need to take away from this is this phrase right here. God sees the bigger view. God sees the bigger view. Ready to catch me? Just kidding. All right. Without moving, AJ, I need you to tell me who's sitting in the very back row furthest left. Yep, you don't know. You're a failure. All right, you can move your eyes a little bit, raise your head if you need to, but keep your shoulders on the ground. Tell me the first person you see. Better say your wife. That'd be a good one. There you go, your wife. All right, now I need you to tell me, without moving, who's looking in the back window right now watching this illustration? Exactly, I'm making a fool out of you right now. Jim Nelson was actually watching out there. How ridiculous is it for us to think that we can expect AJ to answer any of these questions? Let me tell you why this illustration is significant if you're not putting it all together already. We'll put it together. AJ's perspective is my perspective when I come into transitions. All I can see is up, and my angle of view is very limited unless I'm able to stand up or reposition myself to see somehow. Even in that most vulnerable position right there, where my view is so limited to only what I see above me, God sees the bigger view. God sees every nook and cranny of the transition that you're going through. God sees every situation that might be harmful to you. God sees every situation that will benefit you and be a resource to you. And if I were to tell AJ right now, I just want you to lift out your hand and one of you came up to help him stand up, he would just have to trust that the person grabbing his hand could help him stand up. The value of the illustration is that in transition, in moments of uncertainty of our life, AJ is us. AJ is 100% us. I'm occupying the position of what God sees. God's view is so much clearer. God's view is so much bigger. And even in the most vulnerable of moments, AJ's job right now is to just trust that what I'm saying is true. Everybody smile right now. Everybody smile right now. AJ, everybody is smiling. He could call me a liar. He could tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. He could say, from my perspective, nobody's smiling, and my view of you is terrible. I see nobody smiling. I see nobody wanting to help me. I can see no one in position to do anything about the position that I am in. AJ would have to trust. He would have to trust the bigger view. Thanks, AJ. You can go sit by your beautiful bride. God sees the bigger view, even when we cannot. So what do we do in these messy transitions? We trust the God who has the perfect view. We trust the God who has the perfect view. A couple more things before I close. The second thought or theme I would like you to take away today is this. Not everything that is right makes sense. Not everything that is right makes sense. God said, you will go into the promised land. You will live there. And you're going to cross this river. And you're going to defeat the city of Jericho, whose walls are so big that they race chariots around the top of it, who has an army more established than yours. Not only will you cross the Jordan, not only will you take Jericho, you will take the entire land. Not everything that is right makes sense, because none of that made sense to Joshua. None of that made sense to the Israelites, but they believed that God was right and that God is faithful to his promise. The last thing I want to leave with you today, I've hit several things several times. Excuse me, actually this morning. It's simply this. No matter what. No matter what. God will never leave you. And God will never, ever forsake you. Stand with me this morning as we close and as we pray together. Thank you again for being in church today. I pray that it's been a blessing and encouragement and strength to you. If you're in one of those messy transitions, trust that God sees the bigger view. Trust that not everything that is right makes sense. And trust that God will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for our time together today. I pray that we have been blessed in our fellowship with one another, that we have been strengthened in our time of worship together, that we have been challenged and encouraged by your word, that our prayer time together was beneficial and effective, that the power of this gathering was evident because we decided to be here and we accepted the invitation to come into the presence of God. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the power of your word and the power of this gathering in Jesus' name. Can you say amen with me this morning? Amen. Amen. Hey, thanks again for coming to church today. I appreciate it more than you know. Love on somebody on the way out. Give them a handshake or a high five. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Have a great week and have a great Thanksgiving on Thursday. You are dismissed. Thanks again for being in church this morning.